Is it wrong that I like a Kid Rock tune? Is that okay? Some people, you know, are funny on him. You know that, right? I don't know. That was a great tune, wasn't it? I mean, it was... It borrows heavily from another great tune. You think I'm being polite on that? Jerry Bader Show. 10:30, I guess, maybe. 10:36. Just before the news, I had Jason play the audio of... Actually, it was a meandering, rambling, five-minute response to John Carl's question. Well, was Mitt Romney right? Are they our greatest geopolitical foe? And if not Russia, then who? Of course, Obama mocked him, Mitt Romney, in the 2012 debate. President Obama, in his response, there are three things. He called them a regional threat. He called Russia a regional threat with thousands of nuclear missiles. To what region was he referring? Yes. Now they're not a regional threat. They're a global threat, but they are at the moment threatening on a regional level. That's not the same thing. It isn't the same thing. Item two. He lies. Now he says it right the first time, and then he lies the second time. He says that, you know, our greatest geopolitical foe. As he's wrapping up, he says, so for Mitt Romney saying they're our greatest national security threat, he didn't say that. But even if he had, does President Obama not understand the provisions of the NATO treaty? NATO is certainly threatened in Western Europe right now. That means the United States' national security interests are threatened, because an attack on any NATO member is seen as an attack on all NATO members. And all NATO members, and that would include us, have to respond. But third, and I think most importantly, he keeps with this stupid mantra that this is the invasion into Crimea was an act of weakness, not strength, while that they had to be a big bully and couldn't use their influence, because he considers successful diplomacy strength. That's the fantasy world in which he lives. Let me ask you a question. And this, I think, is, I don't know if anyone else is making this analogy. Was the actions by the Japanese Empire of 7 December 1941 one of weakness or one of strength? Jason, what would you call that? Now, the answer here is really important. I'm not just trying to put you on the spot. Was the attack on Pearl Harbor one of weakness or one of strength? You think it was to have the perception of strength? Well, if you do something to create the perception of strength, but it's not really strength, then it's weakness, right? You would have to say, by the way, very good answer on your part. That's exactly what it was. That's why, and I can't recall who the Japanese official was who said, we have awakened a sleeping giant. If I come up and cold cock Mike Tyson with a baseball bat in the back of the head and run, is that strength or weakness? You'd like to see that, wouldn't you? That's an act of weakness, is it not? Of cowardice. Of weakness. Does that mean we shouldn't have gone to war against Japan? I'm not saying we should go to war with Russia. That's not the point. Well, that, you know, they just did that out of weakness, and they really gave us their best punch all at once. So, you know, it doesn't really matter. Of course not! It's the same stupid thing he is saying here. Well, that act of weakness thing doesn't, you know... I'm so tired of that. It's only an act of weakness if he doesn't get away with it. If he is held responsible. In the end, it was an act of weakness by Japan because they didn't get away with it. It was an act of desperation. And they thought that taking out the Pacific Fleet, or most of it, at Pearl Harbor... It was Admiral Yamamoto that said that, huh? I wasn't sure of that. I thought it was Admiral Yamamoto, and a listener says it was. I wasn't 100% sure on that, so I didn't want to misspeak. I believe the listener is right on that, though. That, it's the same thing. Yeah, that was an act of weakness that killed thousands. That mantra is driving me nuts. Now, to yesterday's oral arguments in the case concerning Hobby Lobby, a lesser-known company, and forced contraception coverage by the administration. I have a lot of thoughts on this, but I do want to share a piece, at least some of it, from today's Wall Street Journal on yesterday's arguments, because they do it quite nicely. The Affordable Care Act returned to the Supreme Court on Tuesday as the justices heard a major challenge to the law's birth control mandate. Before I go on, this is a much bigger deal than mandating birth control. We'll get to that in a moment. And the arguments, by the way, are fascinating. Five and maybe even six justices across ideological lines seem discomfited by the administration's cramped conception of religious liberty. In 2012, the HHS published a regulation interpreting an Obamacare provision to require all for-profit employer health plans to cover 20 contraception methods, including four that some religious believers consider abortifacients and sterilization. You know what an abortifacient is? Something that forces an abortion. The combined cases of Sebelius versus Hobby Lobby stores and Conestoga Wood Specialties versus Sebelius are challenging the mandate under a 1993 law called the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. RFRA was passed by a unanimous House, 97, listen to this now. This law was passed by a unanimous House of Representatives and 97-3 in the Senate, and signed by Bill Clinton after the Supreme Court restricted religious liberty in a 1990 case. The statute merely holds that when government interferes with the free exercise of religion, it must narrowly tailor its regulations to serve a compelling interest and impose the least burdensome option. Just think, that bill passed by that margin back then, unanimous in the House, nearly unanimous in the Senate. The left-right coalition behind this legal doctrine has since collapsed, and liberals are now working diligently to undermine the law. The Obama administration was pushing its war on women election theme in 2012 and went out of its way to harm people of faith who are out of political favor. HHS did exempt churches from the mandate, and religious nonprofits can apply for a quasi-exemption, which is being litigated separately. But the administration's remarkable argument is that if a business is incorporated and for profit, it forfeits normal constitutional rights. Hobby Lobby is a chain of craft stores that is a closely held, family-run corporation that tries to operate in accord with biblical principles. Trying to distinguish between for-profit and non-profit corporate forms for this regulatory purpose is constitutionally unprecedented. Corporations are often treated as persons for legal purposes, such as protecting free speech, and prosecutors can indict entire corporations for breaking laws. As Chief Justice John Roberts observed, minority-owned businesses can bring racial discrimination lawsuits. Yeah, if you're a minority business owner, you can claim you didn't get a government contract or another contract because you're a minority. Liberal justices rolled out a parade of dubious hypotheticals, arguing that if a business can invoke religion to refuse to pay for abortifacients, couldn't it also refuse to pay for blood transfusions or vaccinations? Could an employer preclude the use of those items as well? Asked Justice Sonia Sotomayor in the day's first question. Yet no one is precluding anything. Contraception is cheap, plentiful, and covered by most health plans. Most corporations are run for profit, not piety. Mr. Verrilli, arguing on behalf of the administration, claimed the mandate is necessary to promote public health and gender equality, but HHS could have aided those goals without forcing a minority of business owners with moral aims to implicate themselves in what they consider to be grave moral wrongs. HHS itself recognized religious sensitivity to the mandate by exempting some businesses but not others, and it could have extended the same conscience accommodations to for-profits as it did to non-profits. Congress also could have created a free birth control program for the poor or employees of religious institutions or increased subsidies for Planned Parenthood. Even liberal Justice Stephen Breyer wondered whether the mandate was the less restrictive way to provide birth control, while Justice Kennedy noted that HHS believed the health care coverage was not that important if some organization already get an exemption. The courts also can assess on a case-by-case basis which corporations really do operate on religious principles and thus deserve FRA free exercise protection. There will be few Hobby Lobbies, not Exxon. They will be the few Hobby Lobbies, not Exxon. The administration's legal claim have no such limiting principle. Justice Alito pointed to the statute in Denmark that was a de facto prohibition of kosher and halal butchering in the name of animal rights. If corporations lack religious rights, who could sue to overturn such a ban? Justice Kennedy carried the point further and suggested, what's to stop Congress from mandating that businesses must pay for abortions? Here's what it comes down to. Not all corporations are created equal. This company is a corporation. It's family run, owned and operated. The founder still comes in, and I love this, and adjusts the settings on the microphones in this studio. He is deeply, passionately, emotionally invested. Should he be forced to accept advertising that will go against his religious beliefs? He is an individual. Should he not have a right to run his company in the way that he wants? Hobby Lobby is the same type of family business. So is Conestoga Wood Specialties. They're Mennonites. They do have that right to say, no, we don't believe in that. And by the way, and this is being misrepresented. This is being completely misrepresented by those who support the administration's position. They're not even talking all contraceptives. They're talking ones that they believe are de facto abortions. And no, they're not Catholic, by the way. Batty Barbara Boxer pointed, well, that's a distinction without a difference, because contraception is contraception. Of course, this from the woman who said life begins once you take the baby home from the hospital. That would be the same woman. Then she said this gem. When you flummox an MSNBC anchor, you as a liberal, you have done some really profound work here. Go ahead, Jason.
And here's the other point. I have never heard Hobby Lobby or any other corporation, I could be wrong, or any other boss complain that Viagra is covered in many insurance plans, in practically all of them, or other kinds of, you know, things for men, which I won't go into.
Well, they would argue that that doesn't have anything to do with, this is a life issue for them.
Excuse me. I have never heard them put in any type of moral objection. Remember, this is a moral objection to men getting Viagra, but they have a moral objection to women getting certain types of birth control. So I view this as very much an anti-woman position to take. You could differ, and I would respect that. But I've never heard them complain about that.
No, it's not anti-woman. It's pro-life. Even then, when an MSNBC anchor points out what an idiot you are, and you're a liberal, that's saying a lot. Viagra, you could argue, I wouldn't, but you could argue that Viagra actually is pro-procreation. It allows for sexual activity. But this is the mindset. If you're against abortion, you're trying to tell a woman when she can have sex. That's the Barbara Boxer mindset. And by the way, it is a very small leap. So here's the arguments. There are a couple of them. The administration excludes nonprofits. So what does that mean? That they understand that there is an infringement of religious liberty here. And they can give that exemption to nonprofits, but not to for-profits. So what you are doing is necessarily violating the Establishment Clause. Well, we're going to make this okay for some people and not for others. And would the Supreme Court rule, would it really rule that corporations have no religious liberty rights. I would argue this does need to be done on a case-by-case basis. That smaller companies that are still family-owned and the individual is actually the corporation probably does have more religious liberty than Exxon or other major companies. I have a few more things to say about this. It's 10:51.
Jerry on Twitter. Go to jerrybatershow.com.